Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning. Are we excited about Jesus this morning? Can we stand to our feet and just give God a quick praise just for waking us up this morning, just for closing us in our right minds? Lord, you're worthy. Listen, listen. Good morning, church. Welcome to Carpenter Shop. Happy Father's Day to all fathers in the room. For our visitors joining us for the first or second time, we are so glad that you guys are with us this morning. We believe that God is going to do something special in this place. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. 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 Listen, so we all acknowledge today as being a holiday where we celebrate fathers. We celebrate the roles they've played in our lives. And if we're honest, there are some of us in this room who have interesting experiences when it comes to that. Some of us may have had healthy relationships with our fathers. Some of us may have had broken or damaged relationships with our fathers. Some of our fathers have passed away. Some of us have no relationship with our father at all. But can I give you some good news this morning? That there's still your heavenly father that loves you so much to where he knew you when you were being created. The Bible tells us in Psalms that he created us and while we were still in our mother's womb, he knew us. And so I hope this morning that his Holy Spirit rests on you and you realize that he is enough, because your father is Jehovah Jireh. Your father is Jehovah Nissi. Your father is Jehovah Shalom. Your father is Jehovah Roha. He is everything that you could possibly need. And he's more than enough. If you believe that, can we lift a praise to our God this morning?
Every single day.
serve a Father who is more than enough. More than what we could ever desire for ourselves. More than the things that we think we need. And here's the thing. I remember I was listening to someone have a conversation about this song specifically, and they said, you know, I don't really understand, because if the Lord tells us to want more and to desire more, then why are we singing about being content? Why are we singing about being satisfied? Here's the thing. There's a difference between being content and being complacent. See, complacent says, I'm happy where I am, and it doesn't need to change. I have zero expectation for it to change. I'm perfectly okay with staying in the... But see, contentment says, Lord, I'm grateful for where I am right now, but I still trust you for where I'm going. I still trust you to take me over. I still trust you to keep me and to cover me and to guide me and to save me. I still trust you. It may not look like that right now, but I know the God that I serve will never leave nor forsake me. And he sees you this morning, because if he dresses the lilies with beauty and splendor, how much more will he clothe you? How much more will he clothe you? If he watches over every sparrow, how much more does he love you? How much more? Listen. If he dresses the lilies
with beauty and splendor, how much more will he love you? How much more will he
love
you?
If he watches over flowers, how much more can we expect him to cover us? How much more can we expect him to keep us? And if he watches over every single bird in the sky, how much more, family, does he love you? In spite of what you think is broken, in spite of the places that you feel are fragile, that you feel he can't fix, he still loves you. Can we lift our hands all over this room? You know, Father's Day, again, we know is a holiday, and we get our dads these gifts and we do these amazing things for them, but can we give our Father a gift this morning? Can we give him our worship? Can we give him our praise? Can we give him our honor? Because he deserves it. Because there's so many things he could have done, but he didn't. And there's so many things he could not have done, but he did. And so, Father, we honor you this morning. God, we thank you for being a Father who is more than enough. I pray for every spirit of complacency. I bind it in the name of Jesus, and I release contentment. I release satisfaction in where the Lord has us in the name of Jesus. And God, not just satisfied for us to remain the same, but satisfied to where we know you'll take us higher, because you are more than enough. You'll take us higher because we're already loved. You'll take us higher because we're already chosen. You'll take us higher because you promised it. You take us higher because you promised it. And you don't break promises, you keep them. God, you don't break hearts, you mend them. God, you don't destroy minds, you save them. God, you don't hurt lives, you transform them. So Father, this morning we thank you. God, this morning we thank you. God, this morning we thank you. Can we just sing that part one more time?
If he dresses with beauty and splendor, how much more
not just the voices. Sing, if he dresses the lilies. God loves us. Can we lift our voices like the Father loves us?
You are perfect.
times when I'm not. But to serve a Father who is not only perfect, y'all, but He, when He sees you, He counts you as great joy. He still calls you a good thing. And I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like that's something worth worshiping Him about. I feel like that's something worth being passionate about, because I remember Corey's bad decisions. I remember Corey's low places. I remember Corey's broken places. But even in my brokenness, He was still perfect. And so I encourage you this morning that whatever your imperfection looks like, whatever your imperfection feels like, you have a Father who sits high and looks low. And the Bible promises us that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And so this morning, Father, we pray that your Holy Spirit saturates us. We pray that we feel your love in such a way, Father. Lord, for those of us with broken relationships with our fathers, Lord, those of us with non-existent relationships with our fathers, God, we thank you that even in our brokenness, you are enough, and that you fill the void that we felt that we've missed. Thank you that our lives still have purpose, and that you still have vision for us. Can we just sing that out? Y'all know I just love when we sing together. Sing, you are perfect in all. You are perfect. Perfect, Lord. Perfect in words.
Father, a Father that doesn't just give you what you want. Sometimes He says no, but He gives you what you need and what's best for you. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see you, Carpenter Shop family. So nice to connect together this morning. Happy Father's Day to all of you fathers sitting out there. I want to read a poem that I read, and it just kind of stuck in my spirit, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to share it with the people this morning. It's called The Father's Stride, and if you need to sit down, you can definitely sit down. The Father's Stride. When dawn yawns into day and cradles the sun, the children wake, their hearts in rhythm run. Father, in your world, your sacred sphere, each laughter cry is music you must hear. Cresting waves of days, nights waxing waning, in their hearts your strength they are gaining. For each triumph, for each stumble and fall, you are their compass, their lighthouse call. Weary hours creep along, dark shadows grow, yet in their eyes an endless light does glow. You're more than father, more than guiding star in their universe. You are all you are. Toughened hands yet gentle guide their way. Voice of wisdom leading light of day. In their dreams your courage intertwines. You're the architect of their endless designs. Days may seem long, nights all too fleeting. In this hallowed role, time is cheating. Yet know this truth, the heart of all matter. They are your symphony, your joyful clatter. Through the chaos, through the wild uproar, stand tall, be still, and evermore. Bask in these moments, for they are rare, in the fabric of time beyond compare. The years will turn, the children, they'll grow, and in their hearts, your love will forever flow. Hold fast, dear Father, in this ceaseless tide. Each step you take and your children they stride. So here's to you. So here's to you, the father in the fray, strengthened by love at the close of the day. Stand tall, stand proud, for it's true to see in their hearts a hero you'll always be. Amen. Amen. If you are a father who is protecting your children, guiding your children, praying with your children, admitting your faults, and striving to do better, then you are a hero to that child. Let's remember today that there's people out there, some of us, who may not have their dad with them this year, but there are also those that have an absent dad, not by death, but by choice. So let's pray for those hearts that might be torn today, that might be angry today, that might be disappointed today. All right. Lord, we come to you and we thank you, for you are God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the Father that always extends a loving hand. Lord, that you know how to discipline us in love. You know how to protect us when needed. And Lord, you know how to cause us to stand for ourselves, to grow us in ways that sometimes we don't want to grow. But Lord, thank you that you are always there for us. We ask, Lord, that you would just comfort those today that are hurting, that you would cause fathers that are lonely to have peace. Lord, that you would cause fathers that are hiding to get strength to stand. And Lord, for those fathers that are always there every day through the hard strides of life, through the disappointing times, with the hardships of work and schedules, Lord, we pray strength. We pray blessings over them. We give you praise and we give you honor today. In Jesus' name, happy Father's Day. Amen. Amen. And we're so glad to see you today. And if you are a guest with us, we'd love for you to meet us back at the Welcome Center after the service. We'd love to connect with you, get some information, and also give you some information about us. At this time, we're going to honor the Father with our giving.
Jesus. Jesus is a beautiful name. Jesus is a wonderful name. And Jesus is a powerful name. How many of us in here tonight believe that this morning? Hallelujah. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Word Most High, hidden glory in creation.
Come on, one more time. Would you stand and give adoration? Release some praise to the Lord. Hallelujah. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Come on. The Bible says the name of the Lord is to be praised. Come on. Release something. The sacrifice of praise. The fruit of your lips. Giving thanks unto God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can be seated in His presence today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. Thank you, Lord. Man, I almost thought it was Christmas. I showed up in my office and I got, first time ever, brand new pair of Nike Air Jordans. Come on. Laying on my desk. Come on. My wife says, how did they get in here? Okay. Oh, there's always someone that's got a key, right? Amen. Since I came in here today, I got Kentucky Fried Chicken cards. Come on. Y'all must look at me and think I like cheap chicken or something. I got shoes. Man, I don't even have a cheap water bottle this morning. I got a personalized water bottle. Come on, somebody. Happy Father's Day. It's really not about gifts. It's really about the position of the Father. We're going to talk about that today. Today's word's going to be hard for some of you. Come on, somebody say it's going to be hard for some of us. But it's the truth. I'm going to present you the truth of Scripture. You think about it, the Father... This is heavy. You have to gather this another time. But the Father thought so much of your position, Dad, that He gave you the same name He has. You're a father. He's a what? He's a father. And there was a time when He released, he had all of creation inside of Him. And He released creation. He said, and it was. Okay? And there's so much that God has inside of you, every man here today. If you're a deadbeat dad and you're here today, I'm glad you're here, okay? I'm not going to point you out. If you're a deadbeat dad, you know it. You know you got kids you're not even supporting. Come on. Come on, Pastor, ease up. Nah, happy Father's Day. Lock the back door. Don't let anybody out, okay? Don't let anybody out. Don't let anybody out. If you get out of here because you busted up something, okay? Some of the guys are going, oh my God. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's coming today, okay? But you know why it's coming? Because I love you. I love you. The truth is coming because I love you and I love God's word more than I love you. And it's in the book. What I give you today is in the book. And I'm celebrating you. We're going to celebrate you today. As a matter of fact, when you leave today, I want you to go by the table in the foyer. There's some cookies over there. Let me get a bag of them here. There's some cookies over there called Mr. Beast. Come on, somebody. Mr. Beast. This guy's in Greenville, North Carolina. He gives away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in just gifts. He's raised up whole communities, built houses, and give them away. I'd say that's a beast, wouldn't you? His cookies aren't bad either. YouTube, you can check him out on YouTube. Now, you may not agree with everything he agrees with, but I bet you still eat his cookies. All right? All right? Because I don't agree with everything he agrees with. But he's been successful. And this cookie just expresses how I see you, all you men in the house today. You're a beast. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, man, you're a beast. Come on, you're a beast. And then we have a couple of other gifts today that might be of interest to some of you. I want you to know as you it takes a little while to eat these. It's called a sugar daddy. Okay? Come on. I know what you're thinking. Y'all got some ugly minds. Come on, y'all. But I want you to eat this slowly, because if you don't, you'll end up in the dental chair Monday morning, okay? You eat this slowly, and I want you to thank God that you're not just a sugar daddy. That you're a father who takes care of his children. You're a man who loves his wife and her only. okay? And then for those of you who just thought you were a dud, you're not a dud, okay? You're not a dud. Have you ever lit a firecracker and it didn't do anything? I'm telling you, man, you got a lot of boom inside of you. You're not a dud. You're called by God to be successful. And so I'm going to infuse you today with the Word of God. These are just lighthearted things. Where'd you get that from, Pastor? Just thinking, that's all. Just thinking. But we'll bless you with those gifts at the end of the service. And today I want to speak a message to you on this Father's Day that I've simply entitled, You to Man. Come on, You to Man. Come on, tell somebody sitting right next to you. Come on, tap that man and say, Doc, You to Man, dude. You're the man. You're the man. I was mighty tempted. Some of my precious guests here over at the Barnabas House right here on the front row, make them welcome today. Amen. I stepped outside last night and was able to speak to them, and of all things, they just said, hey, you know, what about church? You know a good church around here? As a matter of fact, I do, okay? But you got to drive an hour to get there. But some of y'all drive an hour to get here. Come on. The distance is worth the difference. Come on. And so we're glad to have you today. We welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. Come on, make them welcome, y'all. Amen. I pray that everyone today is infused with the message of the Holy Spirit. If you're a guest today, I'm glad you're here. Don't take for granted that you're in a diverse congregation. Everybody's welcome, okay? We're intentional about that. We've been about that business for years. We just believe everybody's the same, okay? Amen? Everybody's the same. There's only one race, and it's what? The human race, all right? The human race. And today we're going to receive a word from the Lord, and we're going to end up in missions as we often do. One of our own missionaries of 80 years. Come on, Roger Lessing. Well, I'm too old. No, you're not. You're not too old. Roger got on a plane and went across the other side of the world. And Pastor Mike will lead us in that endeavor for the last few minutes of the service today. And we're just getting into missions. Tomorrow, Pastor Mike and Aiden jump on a big bird and travel across the globe and to do the work of the ministry. We just met just this past week with... We're building Carpenter Shop International Church in Swaziland. Amen. We're building a church in Swaziland. You are, okay? You are. You're building a church in Swaziland. And we're almost halfway there in the money. And Northeastern North Carolina is participating in that. And we're just excited to have a church. We didn't ask them to name it after us, but they said in the meeting just this week, hey, we've decided we're going to call this Carpenter Shop International Church in Swaziland. So. Amen. So we're excited about that. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, Lord, we thank you for being our Father. We sang about it earlier today, our good, good Father. Thank you that you were carrying the world inside of you. And you released it. So in essence, Lord, there's really a time that you were not a father, but you released creation and you became God, the Father of all of creation. And Lord, that sounds complex, but it's so true. And you released humanity on this earth, formed him out of the dirt. And Lord, we thank you that we're here today to honor you as a father. And honor these men here today that are fathers. We pray you'd allow me to preach the gospel, Lord, one more time with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Cause us to engage in what you say. And give us an altar service where men who may not know you can come to Jesus today. Men who may have wandered off the track can come back. And men who may have made lots of mistakes and may not be really doing anything to take care of the seed that they planted, would you cause them to man up in Jesus' name? Thank you for an online audience across the world that is listening today as well. God, would you cause them to align themselves with what you're saying today to all of our hearts. And we give you praise and thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, the strong Son of God, in whose name we pray. Amen and amen. Don't that feel good? Come on. The ultimate desire of Jesus was to, don't miss this, pay attention today, don't miss it. The ultimate desire of Jesus was to establish his kingdom on the earth. He spent 3+ years in ministry, and you can read about his life and his teachings in the Gospels. And he spent 3+ years on the earth in ministry, and at one point he gives us in the red letters, everything you see in the red in the New Testament is the words of Jesus. It's under the subheading of prayer. It's found in the Gospel of Matthew, and this is what he said, Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10. You ladies pay attention too, because you need to hear what I have to say today, because it involves your man. Come on, somebody say, my man. Some of you don't have a man yet, but when you get one, make sure you get one like the Bible talks about, okay? If he don't love God, run from him, okay? If he don't love Jesus, get him out of your presence, amen? All right? See, there's nothing like a, there's nothing quite as miserable as a missionary relationship. Well, let that sink in for a second. That means I'm praying for him. No, we're praying for you. That you would stop that crazy attraction you have for dogs and find you a man that loves Jesus, okay? Come on, ladies, that's a good place for y'all to shout, amen? Matthew 6, 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Now, I think I'd pay attention to that. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Check this out. Your kingdom come. Your will be done, where at? On earth. Right here. North Carolina. Hertford County. United States. On earth as it is in heaven. Okay? The Father wants his kingdom. That means, kingdom is the word that means rulership. It means domain. Come on, I'm going to preach, teach when I preach. I'm going to teach you something if you listen. It's his kingdom, his rulership, his domain. He wants it to be on earth. Why? Because he's the king. The king should have it the way he wants in his kingdom. Come on. And the earth is his. The Bible says so. Look at Psalms 24. Psalms 24. Man, when the Lord gave me this download, I was tickled to death. It was ministered to me. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2, the earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world, and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. It's his world. We're just in it. Come on. I remember singing that song in grade school. Pastor Joy, do you remember Miss Caroline Wright? She taught us. She never married. She just died about 3 or 4 months ago, I saw over in Pequimins County. This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sing, and round me rings the music of the spheres. You remember that song? How many of y'all are old enough to remember that song? This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees and skies and seas. His hand, the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds, their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong. Man, we're living in that day. Though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is king. Let heavens ring, God reigns. Let the earth be glad. This is my Father's world. It's His world. And yes, it is very, very messed up today. This world is very, very messed up. The society is very, very messed up at this juncture. But nevertheless, our mission is the same in this life. That is to bring the kingdom of God, the basileia, the domain, the rulership, the power of God unto the earth. The values, the principles of the kingdom. Our mission is to bring that to the earth. Jesus went about the business of the kingdom while He was here. He lived. He died as the supreme sacrifice for all of humanity. He rose from the grave, ascended into the heavenlies, pouring out the Holy Spirit upon us that we might be His hands, His feet, Air Jordans, come on somebody, His heart, His voice to influence. And God created the human family. Let that sink in for just a second. God created the human family. The human family. He wanted to establish His kingdom values, His kingdom culture, His kingdom principles on the earth. Check that out now. God created the human family because He wanted to establish His kingdom values, His kingdom culture, everything about the kingdom on the earth. And I cannot help but remind you that there is an Antichrist agenda. I said there's an Antichrist agenda, an anti-biblical agenda that wants to impose on the present day understanding of the Judeo-Christian value system of the human family. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth, okay? And if you're listening today and you say, oh man, I knew I shouldn't even have listened to him. No, listen to me, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Because one day, guess what? Wallace Phillips is going to stand before God and be judged stronger than you ever thought you'd be judged. I'm going to be judged because I'm responsible. I'm an Ephesians 4, 11 and 12 kind of guy. I'm a pastor. I'm a shepherd. I'm a poimen. I'm responsible for preaching the truth to God's people. Amen? And if you've been in the Wednesday night Bible studies, you understand that pastors are a gift from God to the earth. So I don't say it in a bodacious way, a bragging kind of way, but I'm a gift to God, to you, from God. Amen? And so is every other pastor. And so is every other apostle and prophet and pastor and teacher and evangelist. They're gifts to the earth. To do the work of the ministry. To do what for you? To prepare you so that you may be brought into what? Maturity. So that you won't be confused by every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness that the devil has out there on the earth. And my, does he have it. So God wants us to understand kingdom principle and value. And today, yes, our culture is very, very messed up. Having the family as a divine example of His kingdom on this earth was the will of the Lord. It was the will of the Lord. The desire of the Lord. And so the disciples, they're talking to Jesus one day. And man, they know they've been selected to serve with Him. And so they must have been struggling, kind of feeling like they were on divine overload. You ever felt like you were in over your head? And so they must have felt like they were on kind of in over their head. So they said to Jesus, they said, Lord, would you please teach us to pray as John taught his disciples? Because we're watching you, man, and you going for it. You're sweating. They're going to see him one day, sweat drops of blood falling to the ground. I know you prayed hard, but you never prayed that hard. Where blood is mixed with sweat and you're releasing it out of your body. So Luke 11, 1 and 2, here's a verse that seems kind of like we just went through it, but here's Luke's version. One day when Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he finished praying, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Here we go again, on earth. Terra firma is the name in the original language. As it is in heaven. God wants his kingdom to be established here on this earth while he's preparing our eternal kingdom in the heavenlies. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I'm in John 14, that where I am, there you may be also. But in the meantime, I want to bring my kingdom to the earth. All right? So that's what he did while he was on the earth. He went about establishing his kingdom. And he gave us the foundation of the family. We are family. Come on, y'all. I got all my sisters with me. Y'all look at me strange sometimes. Right. Everyone can see we're together. I need a keyboard player, man. Come on. We're family, y'all. God brought the family to the earth. How did he do it? Well, he took some dirt. Come on, look at your husband for the first time. You have God's permission to say, man, you dirt. Okay? That's the truth. He took some dirt and he formed the man. And see the Lord bending over right now. And he said, okay, I got his body built. Let me try this. When the Bible says he breathed into Adam and life came into him. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise today. He breathed into Adam and Adam became a living soul, mind, will, and emotions in a package. Come on. Wow, I like this. And so he gave us the foundation of the family, the male and the female. Come on, somebody, male and female. And if you do some studying today, just hit Google, how many renditions of that are they promoting today? Come on. How many renditions? They've got all kinds of choices for what they're calling. You know, use pronouns. Say, I'm not using pronouns. I'm using male and female. Okay? Even in the electrical industry, how many men that I got here, has y'all done some wiring before? Have you ever told one of your workers, hey, go get me a such and such a plug and say, which one? The male. The male's got something sticking out of it. Come on, help me, Lewis. The female's got a hole in it. Come on, y'all. I need a male plug. No, I need a female plug. And if you take the male plug and stick it into the female plug, you get electricity. Fire! Boom, boom, boom. Okay. Man, these shoes done me wrong, okay? Oh, welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church World. Welcome to Carpenter Shop Church, where we keep it real. Come on. We're going to keep it real, but still give you the what? The truth. This is the truth. Listen, you say, well, I wish my child hadn't heard that. Well, you should have already told them. You should have already told them at home. Okay? You should have already told them. This is the foundation of the human family, male and female. Listen, as of January 2023, there are 8 billion people on this planet. And guess what? Out of all the 8 billion people, buckle your seatbelt, out of all of the 8 billion people, God has only ever created one man from the dust of the ground. Just one. Come on, let that circle your mind. God had created one man. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. His name was Adam, Adama. His name means the son of the red earth, the soil. He's dirt. Because God just took the soil and fashioned a man, fashioned a human being, made the very first human from the soil. And he never went back, hear this, he never went back to the soil to create another human being. He has a man, he has a male,
He has the very foundation. In fact, he has created, and that's why he calls you Father too, because he gives you the ability to create. Somebody say seed, okay? Are y'all getting this? This is human life right here. This is human life. And so he's got a male that he made from the dirt. Women did not come from the earth. There ain't nothing wrong with a big old, I don't understand it. We can come in hot, sweaty, stinking like nobody's business, and our wife wants to embrace us. We're dirt. We're musty dirt. And she still loves us. But man, you get her hands dirty. Oh, my goodness. Oh, God. They don't do dirt well. Okay? Now, there's some exceptions. But they like to smell pretty, look pretty. And so, listen, women did not come from the earth. Hold your seatbelt. Women came from the man. God tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 12, "For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman, but everything comes from God." In fact, look back at the Genesis story. Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. "So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep." Somebody said, "Yeah, that's my husband right there. He's in a deep sleep." "And while he was sleeping, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made woman from the rib he had taken out of man, and he brought her to the man. And the man said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man.'" So man comes from the dirt. Woman comes from the man. I got a Phillips translation. Y'all want to hear it? Okay. All right. "So the Lord God caused Adam to fall into a deep sleep after a long day's work in the garden. And while he was sleeping, the Lord fashioned another being from one of his ribs and put flesh on the creation. He made a few adjustments, some curves, some bumps. And she was beautiful. And she was a match for him. And when he awakened that morning, the Lord said, 'Hey, Adam, hey, dirt boy. Got you something, man.' And the Lord brought the creation to Adam, and he was absolutely speechless. He stepped back and took one look and said, 'Whoa, whoa, 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 man, woman.'" Y'all like the Phillips translation? Come on, somebody. I wouldn't propagate that and share it with anybody, but anyway. This is what the Bible says. The Lord took the woman out of man. And he took the woman and he didn't make a few adjustments. And he also placed a womb inside the man. And I don't agree with this, but there are some theories out there that woman really literally means womb man. W-O-M-B-M-A-N. It's a scientific theory that I don't propagate. I'm going to stick with the Bible, y'all, okay? We'll stick with the Bible. Her name was Eve. Her name in the Hebrew is Hava, which means source of life. So you got the dirt. You got the red soil man coming into being with the source of life. She's able to give another one out as long as one is put in. And it's women who receive the seed from this man who is literally the foundation of everything God created. Listen, listen, listen. Don't miss this. Man is the foundation. You, sir, you're a male. You are the foundation of life. Okay? You're just the foundation of life. And it's the only plan. It's God's plan. And any deviation from it is a counterfeit. Okay? Any deviation from man and woman is a counterfeit. It's an attempt to find fulfillment in something that will never be fulfilling for you. You'll get to the end and you'll feel like, man, what a waste. What a waste. And it's a challenging thing, but we're facing it head on in our culture today. And if, listen, let me just tell you something, just so in case you're wondering by now, if you're transgender, if you're homosexual, well, listen, I welcome you, I invite you to Carpenter Shop International Church, because you know what? I'm not responsible for cleaning your life up. I'm only responsible for catching you into the net. I don't care if you're a drunkard, an alcoholic, a crack addict. I don't care what you are. My responsibility is to catch you in the net of the gospel and let God clean you up, okay? That's it. It's God's responsibility. And some of you are walking in relationships like that, that you're really, at the end of the day, you know you're not fulfilled. You can't be. It's not natural. It's unnatural. And God wants to show you the powerful story of humanity as I give it to you on the pages of God's Word. He wants you to hear that. He wants you to hear the truth, because the truth does something. The Bible says the truth sets you absolutely free. Come on, somebody. The truth will set you free. It'll cause you to be the man that God has called you to be. It'll cause you to be the woman that God has called you to be. Amen. So we're not pointing our fingers at you. We love you. We do. But we want you to know the truth. We love you that much. You start with God's foundation. God's foundation was the man. Oh, I'm sure he loves this. He's putting all the attention on the man. I'm putting the attention on the one whom God put the attention on. The man is the foundation of humanity. God made the man first. And then he comes back and pulls woman out of the man. So the man's the foundation of the human family. I don't know if you're thinking about this, guys, this deep. Some of y'all are thinking, well, you know, yeah, I'm the head. I'm the head. See, honey, the Bible says I'm the head. Can I tell you where the head is? At the bottom. The foundation of the house is not on the top. If you're called to be the man, you're the man, you're the man. If you're called to be the man, then your foundation is on the bottom. The foundation of the house is that which it is built upon, leaving it to be on the bottom. I know you like that quote, the husband's the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church, and that is true, but that is a mutual position of leadership, like a chain and a sprocket. The man loves to lead, and the woman loves to be led. It is a mutual relationship. But to be the head, the kingdom means that you are to be on the bottom. You are the very thing that the whole family is built upon. You, sir, are called to shoulder the family. You're holding the whole family up because you're the foundation of the family. I know how you are when you go to places like Disney World, and you, man, you love Disney World, but you always love to get near that big castle in the middle, and you smile, and all of your family's standing there, and you're looking at the castle. Or you can go over here to Western North Carolina to the Biltmore Gardens, the Biltmore Estates, and you look at those magnificent buildings, and you take pictures of them. Or you can go to Pennsylvania Avenue and get in front of the White House. And everybody wants to grab that picture where through the fence you can see our national headquarters. And you take a picture. But how many times have you ever said, hey, could I get inside that house? I'd like to get a picture of the foundation. Never. You like to take a picture of the building. But never do you point your camera down at the bottom and say, man, look at those cinder blocks. No, 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 no. Oh, man, could you possibly let me in the basement? I want to take a picture of those footers. No. But can I just tell you something? You need to understand, sir, that when you're called to be the head, you first were established as the foundation. You're the bottom. And you're the bottom upon which you can build a godly family on top of you, okay? You can find yourself a wife, okay? And the Bible says he who finds a wife finds a good thing and receives favor from the Lord, okay? Are y'all getting this? It's Father's Day. You and I need to come to the reality that we are called by God, mandated by God, ordained by God to be the very foundation of all that our family is or all that our family will ever be. We are the bottom. We're called and destined by God to be on the bottom. We're called and destined by God to hold the family up. We're called and destined by God to make provision, to work, to pay the bills, to establish, to protect, to lead from the bottom. I need some illustration here. Where's Jeffrey? Jeffrey Carter. Come on, man. Help me out here. Come on, y'all give Jeffrey and Kay's your hand. Come on. Is one of your kids here? Come on, Aubrey. Come on up. Give them a hand, y'all. One of your responsibilities, sir, is to manage your family. I talk to people sometimes. Well, you had to talk to my wife. Okay, what? I don't know. She decides all that. Okay, if you empowered her to decide that because she's better at it than you are, then I get that. Okay? Okay? So I need you to stand right here for me, Jeffrey. Just stand right here. Look at these people. This is what I got to deal with every Sunday. All right? And I need Kaysia to stand right behind him. And I need Aubrey. Hey, Aubrey. What's up, girl? Stand right behind her. There's an order. I got you a bag, man. Hold that bag. Open it up wide for me because I'm going to be pulling some stuff out of there. Look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. The verses are 4 and 5. He. Somebody say he.
He.
Somebody say you the man.
He.
You must manage your own family well. And see that the children obey him, okay? And he must do so in a manner worthy of full respect, okay? This word here, manage, I underscored it for us. This word manage is prohistomy. Prohistomy in the original language. Prohistomy man. He's a prohistomy man. He is one to be placed before, to be set over, to superintend. He's the leader. He's to superintend. He's to be protector. Somebody say Glock. Okay. Some of y'all didn't get that. You will in a little bit. He's to be protector. He's to be guardian. He's to be the what? The authority. And if you go to prohistomy in the original language, you can click on there and find the origin of the word. And lo and behold, you know what the origin of the word is? Foundation. He's on the bottom. But he's leading. He's leading the family. And so you got the father, the mother, the son, the daughter, the foundation, the four walls. I call it the foundation, the four walls, the finance, and the food. You got to have all these things to survive. You got to have the foundation, the four walls, the finance, and the food. So open your bag there, man. I put some stuff in here for you. This is not much. You can't build much of a house with this, but this is a bag of cement. Okay? It's a little bag. In fact, it's like a sandwich bag. But if you pour water in here and mix it up real good and lay it out, it'll harden and it'll be the foundation of what you're building, okay? And every foundation, you got to build something. So I asked Mimi, can you help me here? She said, I got some Lincoln logs. So we got to have some walls, y'all. Come on. So we're building walls, okay? And if you're going to get that house built, man, You got to have some finance. Come on, I got a wad of cash here. And they're not $1 bills. There's no ones in here, no fives either. But this is cash. You're going to need this, okay? You got to have some finance. Come on. Somebody's saying, I wish you'd have called on me. You didn't get called on, so hush, okay? And then you got to feed your family. And how many of you know there are times when just peanut butter and crackers just has to do it for tonight? Come on, okay? But you're going to get some peanut butter and crackers. And you're called also to protect your family, man. You got to protect your family, so every man needs a Glock, okay? All right? Okay. And what you do is, see, this is not a toy to be played with. This is not a toy to be played with. You fill this thing up with vinegar and put it beside your door, okay? And when somebody's out there that don't need to be out there, you just open it up and psh, psh, vinegar right in their eyeballs, okay? Nah, get you a real gun, man. I got them spread all over my house, all right? Get you a real gun. That is a prohistomy man. He's got everything he needs because God has placed, here we go, God has placed in him the ability to be the foundation of the home, okay? Prohistomy man. Come on, y'all, give it up for this family. And listen, What he's saying by standing here, come on, let me let you, come on, just give me your best muscles, man. Come on, stretch your arms out there. Come on, bro. I'm not going to make you take your shirt off or nothing. Give me your muscles. Okay, look at there, y'all. Look at there. All right, but give me one of these like you're standing here ready to just tackle anything, okay? Here's Prohistomy, man, and he says to the enemy, if you're going to get to my wife, bud, you're going through me, all right? If you're going to get to my children, you're going through me. Because as for me and my house, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord. Amen? Come on. Give the Lord praise, y'all. Thank you for the Carter family. The foundation is carrying the weight of the building. It's what you were called to do, sir. It's what you were made to do. You were built for this. Okay? And you got to be careful when you're raising your children. Listen, let your kids work. Make them work. Make those guys sweat. Make them weed eat that property. Make them make it look pristine. Make them sweat. Let them get some poison ivy. Let them get whatever they need to be the men that God has called them to be. Don't raise no sissies. Come on. Make them work. Let them work. So that they understand the principle in which God has fashioned them to be the foundation, okay? Let them feel the pressures, okay? Let them feel it, because they're going to need it. The foundation is the one thing that has to be in order. In fact, if you go to a local government and you go to the city of Ahoskie and you say, hey, could you let me see your codes on a house, and they'll let you have a copy of the city codes. The inspector will share these things with you. And listen, in your house, if you have a house, you can live in a house with broken windows. You can. You can live in a house where all the siding is about to fall off, okay? You can live in a house that looks dilapidated. In fact, some of you got some of your neighbors that you wish would straighten their act up. They don't keep their property looking good, but you keep yours looking good. And you can live in a house where the siding is falling off the building. And you can even keep a blue tarp on your roof for 15 years if you want to. You don't have to put no new shingles on it. But if you let that foundation crack, the city's going to come to you, and they're going to do what? They're going to condemn the house because it is not worth living in, because the foundation is messed up. Are you hearing what God is saying today? God is looking for men to rise up and be the foundation that he's called them to be, so that what you build upon it, every seed that you plant into the woman, will raise up and be born and raised and reared in a house with a good foundation. Come on, y'all. Your kids are the windows and the doors. Your wife is the walls of the house, but you, sir, you're the foundation. And the devil has his sights on you. He wants to pluck you out. He wants to position where he can take authority over you and bring a crack into your life. He wants you to avoid the Bible, stay out of church, fall in love with fun and games, and anything else that will distract you from being who God designed you to be. And he'll make you work yourself into a dither. I see people all the time, hey, man, we've been missing you. Oh, Pastor, I'm telling you what, man, I've been working like crazy. I've been getting all the overtime I can get. You know why? Because you got yourself in such a financial pinch. The only way out is for you to work like a dog. Why didn't you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and not get yourself in that mess? Come on, it's quiet in the house, y'all. It's quiet. Put your energy on all that you can put it on to be the man that God's called you to be. You're the man. You can look in Genesis and see the hit on the foundation. Check it out. He's hitting the foundation now. Watch this. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals that the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, did God really say that you must not eat of the fruit in any of the trees of the garden? Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it, for if you do, you will die. He says, you won't die. The serpent replied to the woman, God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it. You'll be like God, knowing both good and evil. And the woman was convinced And she saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious. And she wanted the wisdom that it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and she ate it. She chewed it up. She swallowed it. She enjoyed it. No problem. Then she gave it to her husband who was with her. Watch this. Then he did what? He ate it. And at that moment, what moment? The moment the foundation ate it. Are y'all getting this? Listen, you read right over it. You study it out. The woman ate it. Not a big deal. But when the foundation, the father, when he ate it, the Bible says, at that moment, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. The woman saw the fruit, no issue. She grabbed the fruit, no issue. She ate the fruit, no issue. Gave it to the man, no issue. But then the man ate it. And immediately, at that moment, when he ate it, the Bible says their eyes were opened. The foundation was cracked. One man. You say, Pastor, how can you say that? Both of them did wrong. The Bible says one man. What does the Bible say? One man brought sin into the world. Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as sin entered through the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. Romans 5:12. When Adam sinned, didn't say when Adam and Eve sinned. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death. So death spread to everyone for everyone's sin. It was the man that God looked to. It was the man that God, you're the man, you're the foundation to God's kingdom on this earth. And the crisis that we have in this world today is the absence of a solid, foundation. The absence of the Father. Do we understand what Father means? I know all the buzzwords. I know Daddy, I know Dad, I know Papa, I know Pops. In the Hebrew, it's Pater. Or in Greek, it's Abba. Abba translates, dear Daddy. Abba is the word that means the source. The Father is the source, but He's also the nourisher. The Father is the source and the nourisher, but He's also one who sustains. Listen closely. You hold the seed, okay? You hold the seed in your body, and anyone can release seed. Anybody can release seed. In fact, some men in the world just go around releasing seed. They got so many youngins, they don't even know who all the youngins they got. I'm just telling you. Oh, yeah, that's the baby daddy. Don't use that word. Please. That's a very disrespectful term. That's the baby daddy. No, 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 no. Don't minimize the power of the role that that man was called to play. You're more than a baby daddy. You ain't no sugar daddy. I told you today, when you eat that thing, you chew on it. I don't care how long you chew on it, but as you chew on it, you remember what God said today. I'm the foundation. I'm called to be built upon. I'm called to bring stability, protection, provision. Are y'all getting this? Some of y'all mad at me. Some of y'all looking at me like, I wish he wouldn't be talking about this. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to say it because it's true. Okay? Don't use the term baby daddy. That's a derogatory term that means you release the seed. You be the dad, but you're not a father. Okay? You're not a father. Because you're not the nourisher. You're not the sustainer. You paying child support? No, I ain't paying no child support. You're running from the law. You're so afraid they're going to catch up with you and put your tail in jail. And guess what? They should. Because you ain't doing nothing. Hello? You're not a nourisher. You're not a sustainer. You're not the father that God called you to be. And I pray the Holy Spirit would lay upon your heart right now and bring you under conviction. Because you know what? You still got a chance. While your child is alive, you still got a chance to be the father that God has called you to be. Oh, there may be limitations. You may have visitation rights, and you may not be able to get there but once a month or twice a month, but you have every right, and you should be inside that child's life some way or another. I don't like that, Pastor. I don't want him near me. Well, you need to let him have his responsibility. Because it's not the responsibility that you gave him or took from him. It was given to him by who? By God. okay? I don't like that. Doesn't matter if you like it or not. There are families that are functioning with a father who comes and does what he should do. He blesses. He blesses. He spends time. He blesses. He gives money. And to the best of his ability, that's all he's allowed to do. But you need to allow him to do it. Okay? Now, there are certain circumstances that are probably better that not happen. But they're rare. Are you hearing me? But you, as much as you can, sir, you need to be present. Be present. Be present. Be prepared. Fatherlessness has killed the family in this country. Fatherlessness has ruined family potential. Statistics are startling in the United States. The Fatherhood Initiative, I just looked it up this week, says that in America, 18.4 million children, hear me clearly, live without a father or a stepfather or an adoptive father. All of these are fine. Thank God for adoptive fathers. Thank God for men who stepped in to fill the gap that is huge. But 18.4 million live in households without a biological, a step, or an adoptive father. In America, research shows that a child grows up in a fatherless home, they're more likely to have serious behavioral issues. They're more likely to go to prison. They're more likely to commit crimes. No father around, girls are 7 times more likely to have a teenage pregnancy. More likely to be abused, more likely to use drugs and alcohol, 2 times more likely to suffer obesity, and 2 times more likely to drop out of school. Why? Because no dad is around. What happened? The foundation was cracked. Huh. Are y'all getting this? Can I just tell you something? The absence of a father, the absence of an adoptive father, the absence of a biological or a stepfather. Listen, you can make it work. If the real father, he's nowhere to be found, and someone comes in and steps in, hey, I want to adopt. I want to adopt. I want to be the father that he needs. I want to be the father that she so desperately needs at this point in her life. God honors that, and God will bless that. I'm standing on this platform today as a father who has a son. I'll be honest with you. If you'd have told me that Joshua Phillips had in his heart the kindness to love a child enough to adopt it, I would have said, man, not the Josh that I raised. I would have said, but you know what? He's got 3 children that he's taken out of horrible situations, and he brought life into them. 3 precious children. He brought life to them. Because the doctor said, oh, your wife will never have a child. Guess what? Number 7 of our grandchildren is going to be here in July, Seattle, Washington. The doctor said, you never have a child. She's on her 2nd one right now, y'all. After she adopted 3 others, okay? Time Magazine, Father's Day edition, 3 years in a row. The cover read like this, Dad is Destiny. This is a secular magazine. Dad is Destiny. Here's a quote from the article. More than any other factor, a biological father's presence in the home can ultimately determine a child's happiness and success. Another quote. Today, more than half of all children in the U.S. will spend at least half of their entire childhood with no father in the home. Another quote. Fatherlessness is the most destructive trend in this generation. Another one. This is strong. The absence of fathers is linked to the 2 main social nightmares: boys with guns, girls with babies. Friends, these are secular quotes. from sociologists, behavioral counselors, and psychiatrists. And God is speaking to us on this Father's Day to remind us that all fathers are the foundation. You're the man. To be a father, you're called to keep your foundation in order. Stay in the Word of God. Keep your prayer life intact. Connect with your local church. Get involved. Let the Holy Spirit fill you. Guard your eyes. Guard your ears. Guard your nostrils today. These are the windows of the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions. That's the windows of your soul. Guard your heart. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Listen, you're the foundation by God's design, and you cannot afford to get a crack in your life where the devil can come in. He only comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. John 10:10. Jesus said it. He said the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have what? Life, and have it to the full. That's why the Bible says the Lord told Adam when he was in a deep sleep, Genesis 2:18, right before his deep sleep, he said to him, "It is not good, Adam, that man should be alone. I will find a helper. I will make a helper for him who is just right." And when you find a wife, the Bible says, Proverbs 18:22, you find a treasure. He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord. Man, tell your wife you love her, you adore her, she's a treasure. You thank God for her, because without her, you would be incomplete. And then you're going to have some kids. As we come to a close here, you're going to have some kids. Psalm 127, 3 to 5. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man? How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of young'uns? Okay? John Boy, Mary Ellen, Jim Bob, all these guys. The more you have, the happier you are. He will not be put to shame when he comforts his accusers at the city gates. Kids are amazing. Kids love their parents. Kids are sourced, nourished, and sustained. And they are taught principles by what you do and how you live. You know, I'm just thinking, I love it when people have babies. I just love it when somebody says, "Hey, did you hear Dylan and Leah? She's pregnant again. Did you know that, Dylan? She's pregnant. Did you know that you're going to have number four?" Okay, I'm just letting you know today, okay? I'm just kidding you. I'm just kidding you. But I love it when moms have babies. More babies, more babies. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of those mighty arrows. Come on, we need more children. Hallelujah. Who said that, man? He's got a desire, all right? More kids. Because if you got children, look at all the stories we've seen on TV. Eight is enough. Waltons. There's a story of a man named Brady who was busy with three boys of his own. Okay? They were four men. Okay? But they were all alone. All right? All right? And the one day when the lady met this fellow, okay, she knew that it was much more than a hunch. Come on, didn't y'all watch any TV when you were growing up? And all these people together became what? The Brady Bunch. All right? Two families that came together. The Brady Bunch. God loves families. God loves male. Okay? God loves female. God loves when the seed is planted. Okay, here we go. And you get all these kids. He loves it. It's his plan. Happy Father's Day. You, sir, you're not a dud. You're not just a sugar daddy. You're not. You are the foundation. You're the foundation, Justin. You're called by God to show this guy right here what it means to be a man, okay? Well, Pastor, you don't understand, man. I made a lot of mistakes. Who hasn't made mistakes? Who has not made mistakes? But God is a redeemer of those who make mistakes. Okay? And you're the foundation, sir. You're the man. God's called you to be the foundation. You're a beast. You may be a male today. You may find yourself right now thinking, wow, of all the Sundays I could come here, and I hear this. And you may feel conviction. You may feel like, man, I got a kid. She lives in Texas. She's 17 years old. It's too late. No, it's not too late. You know what my story is? When I was in Bible college, I got a telephone call from my mom. She said, Wallace, you're not going to believe this. Because I never met my grandfather. Okay, my entire life, I never met him. Never met him. My mom, my grandfather was 74 years old. Somebody say 74. Riding down the road of a Mississippi highway, heard a preacher by the name of Dr. Jerry Falwell preaching on the old-time gospel hour. And he led my grandfather to Jesus running down a Mississippi road. My grandfather's in the car, Pastor Mike. He starts swerving. Starts swerving on the highway. Tears are coming down his face. The car is just going all over the highway. Woo, 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 woo. A highway patrolman pulls him over and says, sir, get out of your car. He looks at the highway patrolman. He's 74 years old. And he says, it's not what you think. He said, sir, obviously you're under the influence. He said, officer, I don't drink. It's not what you think. He said, I'm 74 years old. I just listened to this preacher. And he said, I've just given my life to Jesus, and I just got caught up in another world. I'm glad you pulled me. He said, I got a lot of work to do. I got a family. I had 5 kids that I left when they were toddlers. And for the first time in my life, I was introduced to a man by the name of Harry Russell. And they said to me, we'd like for you to meet your grandfather. And I met him for the first time, Pastor Bernie. I only saw him 3 other times before he went on to glory. But after he was saved on the Mississippi highway listening to the gospel, he surrendered his heart to Jesus, and he did everything he could to spend time with his family that he had left. So if you're sitting here today saying, yeah, I understand what Pastor Wallace has said, but man, it's too late. It's never too late for you to love somebody. Never. I met with a person in this church many years ago who sat in my office and he cried like a child in front of my desk. And I said, man, what is it? And he sat in my office and he cried. He was probably in his mid-30s. And he said, Pastor, I'm just really struggling, man, because I don't even know who my daddy is. I have no idea who he is. And he said, it just hurts me so bad. I've been told one time this was your dad, but turned out to be he wasn't my dad. And he said, I just feel such an emptiness inside my heart because I don't know who my father is. Can I tell you something? When the foundation's messed up, it's messed up. But you, sir, it's not too late today. Could I just get all my men to stand up? Come on, all the men. You don't even have to be a father. Just stand up. All the men, come on down here to the altar. Come on down here. All the men. Come on. Make your way down here. All the men in the house. Teenage men. All the men, just gather. Just pull on in here. All the guys. Come on, participate. Don't leave me now. You've been listening to me for 30 minutes. Don't leave me now. Come on, let's go. This might be the prayer that makes a difference for you. Okay? There you go. How old are you, Evan? 13. In Israel, you'd be married, man. In Israel, you can buy and sell land, marry somebody, have children at 12 years old when they reach bar mitzvah. That's right. Come on down, men. Come on down here. Look at all these foundations. Hey, Ronald. Look at all these foundations. all these foundations on which God can build an amazing family. I want to ask you guys a question today. Is there anybody among the men here, and you say, Pastor, I know I got some stuff just between me and Jesus. I just got to get some stuff straight. As it relates to not being a father, but as it relates to your relationship with the Father. And I'd just like to say that right here, standing here this morning, Pastor, I just want to let you know I'm getting some stuff in order. Just raise your hand right quick. Anybody? God bless you. Look at that. Look at that. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I'm getting some things in order this morning. 10, 11. Renewed faith to Jesus. Lord, forgive me. I've made some mistakes. Are there any men here that would say, you know what, man, fatherhood and me had some rough spots. Could I see your hand? Come on. That's what I thought would happen. Look at all the hands. Fatherhood and me had some rough spots. I did. There was a time, you didn't know it, but there was a time when my oldest son, Joshua, who lives in Seattle today, all I had to do was be in his presence, Justin, and I knew something. What did I know? Josh Phillips could not stand me. You remember? Okay. He probably told you. Man, my daddy makes me so mad. Josh did not like me. And guess what it did to me? It crushed me. And I wanted so bad to heal it. Chris, I wanted so bad just to make it right, but I couldn't make it right. I loved him, but he didn't love me. He really didn't care to be around me. And it was tough. But guess what? Guess what? Every week of my life now, FaceTime. Hey, Dad, what's going on? Talked to him last night, 10:30 my time, 7:30 his time. He's in the kitchen cooking. You got all that troop, man. Somebody's got to let mama rest. She's going to have a baby in July. He's in the kitchen cooking, okay? He's being a man. I thought you said you serve from the bottom, all the way from the bottom to the top, okay? You're the one that counts. You're the man. So, Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every man at this altar today. Some that are not married, not even thinking about it, not even old enough to be married. But Lord, they've heard today the principle that is yours, that they, as a male, are the foundation upon which the human family, their family, will be built upon. Foundation. Lord, I speak a solid foundation in every family of every man represented at this altar. I speak a solid foundation. I speak a healthy marriage to a woman. I speak children, God. Children that will rise up and call their parents blessed. Lord, give them kids. And Lord, as you give them kids, may they teach them as soon as they're able to learn your idea for the human family. Lord, I thank you for this in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray for men today around this altar who are struggling in some area. God, maybe they don't feel like they've been a good foundation. Maybe they don't feel like they've been very solid. But Lord, as they renew themselves to you and to this call, this mandate, this ordination on their life, I pray that the days ahead of them will go down in history as the better days. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Come on, give these guys a hand, would you? Pastor Joy, would you help me here? Would you take that basket and would you, as they get out there in front of them and as they go down the aisles to get back to their seats. Hey, grab a sugar daddy, grab a milk dud, and in the foyer, grab you a beast of a bag of cookies, okay? Because you're a beast, all right? God bless you.
Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, the foundation needs some help now then, doesn't it? Amen. Thank you, Pastor Wallace. What a wonderful word. Roger, come on, make your way up here. As Roger comes, let me remind those of you who are interested in taking the journey to Swaziland to help build Carpenter Shop Church over there. We're going to meet right in the Family Life Center when we dismiss here today. Well, you know, I told our group Friday night that God opened a door for me. A door that I could use my earthly talents and giftedness, along with the call that was on my life, to help secure his kingdom and perpetuate it by including other men. Come here. And taking those men and carrying them to the field and make evangelists out of them. And last year, Roger went to the Ivory Coast with us, the oldest gentleman on our trip, worked his heart out, and now today he serves as an evangelist. He has just returned on a trip. He went right by himself to the Philippines. Had a little glitch the first time, but he has not yet give up. And I don't believe he will until Jesus takes him home. So I promise you, it's never too late. And he's going to share about what his trip to the Philippines has meant to him. And you just ask God to give you a heart for the kingdom and for the work of it. I'm proud of you, brother.
Thank you very much. Pastor Wallace shuffled my notes. Foundation wasn't on my notes. But when I look at it, part of the reason there's so many homeless people in the Philippines is the foundation's cracked. Father's not there. Father's an alcoholic. Father's on drugs, not taking care of the family. That's one of the big reasons why there's so many, 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 many homeless people in the Philippines. First time when I started out for the Philippines in February, I got as far as JFK in New York, tripped on an escalator, landed right on my face, smashed my face up. I looked like a raccoon. And they wouldn't let me get on the plane. Blood, oh, I soaked in blood. So I had to return home. But you know what? Satan never, ever, ever will win if you're a child of God. If you're walking with the Lord, Satan can batter you, he can slap you up and knock you down, but you're going to get right back up again. And that's what happened with me. I went to the Philippines in April, and the purpose of my trip was to understand better and more about the homeless teenagers in the Philippines. There they're called street children. And I was told and I read both that there's 75,000 street children in just the city of Manila. And at first I said, no, that can't be. That's a misprint. They put too many zeros down. No, that's real. I got there on a Friday late afternoon, tired, traveling 2 days to get there. I went to my hotel room, pretty much stayed there. I did go out to get a bite to eat. Stayed in my hotel room. Saturday, I went out, got breakfast, and I have trouble walking any distance at all, so I walked a short distance and sat down and just observed. Observing what I thought was street children. And as every block that you go, there's 10, 15 teenagers. Any time of the day, 10 o'clock at night, 10, 15 teenagers in groups of 3 to 5. And I'm sitting there and saying, yeah, there's one. Pretty soon he hops on a motorcycle and takes off. He was the street child. He wasn't homeless. I said, there's another one. Same thing. There's more motorcycles in the Philippines than there is cars, for obvious reasons. And these kids are hopping on motorcycles and taking off. I couldn't identify a street child. Yet it's the biggest problem they have. So the next day we had meetings. And one of my first questions was, how do you identify a street child? They said, you don't. They're all over the place. I said, well, about the time I thought I figured one out, it happened on a motorcycle and took off. They said, yeah, that's right. You can't identify them. They're just thousands and thousands of them. So they talked to me about us partnering with them. When I say them, it's a Assembly of God church by the name of it slipped my mind, but it's not important the name of the church, but it's Assembly of God Church. Word of Hope is the name of the church. Word of Hope. And I went out with them and spent the whole day with them, early till dark. And we started out two missions in parks for the homeless. The government in the Philippines allows the homeless to live in the parks. Here they would chase them out. There, that's their answer to it. They can live in the parks. And so we pulled up to the first park in our bus, and got out, and they come flying from all over to every direction. And we set up and started to work with them on a mission. And at this time, I want to show you a video that's going to start out with the homeless. Then we went into a community outreach program. And after that, we went to a prison ministry. So you're going to see all that. And the last picture on this video is a picture of an 18-year-old girl in the Philippines. My wife and I started sponsoring her when she was 14 years old. And I really, truly believe that she would have dropped out of school because of the family situation. But she's graduating this year from high school. We're hoping to sponsor her through college. The answer is to get these kids through high school, through college, because I was told, I asked the question, I says, isn't a major problem these kids dropping out in high school? And Pastor Jerry says, no, the major problem is these kids dropping out in elementary school. There's no law that says they have to go to school. The average household income is $250 a month. The average family is seven. So you're feeding seven people on $250 a month. Major, major problem. And the kids are dropping out in elementary school. Don't know how to read, don't know how to write, can't do arithmetic. Major, major problem. But let's go into this video, and then I'll explain a little more.
If it's bandaging the broken, washing filthy feet, here I am, Lord, send me. If it's loving,
masaya ba kayo sa food niyo? Okay, pwede bang sabihin natin thank you Jesus? Lahat-lahat na yan ay galing po yan sa Panginoon. Wala tayong ibang pasalamatan kundi ang Panginoon.
Serve you just the same. Here I am, Lord, send me. On the mountain or the valley, I will choose to praise. Here I am, Lord, send me. If I'm no
community outreach program, about 135 kids. This is the girl my wife and I are sponsoring. This is the jail program. In the jail program, there was 25 males and five females. And we started out with a half an hour of praise, just like we do here. Actually, the same songs we sing. And teaching about Jesus. And I couldn't understand their language, but every time they said Jesus, I knew that word. So ended up, I estimate, just about every prisoner, which would be 30, accepted Jesus as their Savior that day. For the whole day, two parks of homeless, community outreach. We didn't go into accepting Jesus with the children, but we did the adults. Five circles. Again, about every one of them accepted Jesus because they're hurting. They're hurting bad. I mean, when you have one or two meals a week, I'm going to ask you all, if every person in this room gave up one beer, one soda, one candy bar a week, it would feed about 800 people, two meals a week. If we just give up one tiny little thing, it would feed 800 people. And I'm asking you to do that. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what being a Christian is about. And I thank the Lord, and I thank you all for giving me the opportunity to serve Him. And I'll continue serving Him until I'm with Him. Thank you very much.
Let me pray for you, Roger. Let me pray for you before you go. Come here. I'm going to ask you all to stretch your hand forward as I pray, and we'll dismiss after this. Father, I do thank you for the heart that Roger has for your kingdom and for the lost who need to hear about your kingdom. And I ask you, Lord, to meet his every need for the vision that he has to feed these homeless children. Bring in every dollar that we might take care of those whom Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. Help us help him. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Roger. Pastor Mike, is Aiden here today? Pastor Mike and Aiden jump on a plane tomorrow for Kenya, Africa. So let's just pray for him. Just a brief prayer of blessing. Father, in Jesus' name, mighty and strong, how grateful we are, Lord, for mission in Ahoskie, in North Carolina, in Jerusalem, Judea, Kenya, Africa, and in the Philippines. God, we thank you for allowing the hearts of our people to touch the world with the gospel and with love of Jesus. I speak blessing and peace over Mike and Aiden tomorrow as they board the plane. God, give them this week ahead of them, before they join up with another group. God, give them this week with supernatural appointments that they're not even aware of. Thank you for making provision in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful Sunday. Happy Father's Day. And men, don't forget your gifts in the foyer. God bless you.